Chapter 26. Pieces of the Past. It was an unusual book, and Kairos was an expert on books. The script within it was sloppy, harsh, and if Kairos could attribute emotion to lifeless ink on paper, it was angry. Flecks of ink were scattered here and there. Kairos would have discarded and rewritten them had it been his own work. There were smudges as well. It contained empty pages in plenty. Nearly the last half of the tome was blank. The book must have been created blank and been written in as a bound volume. Kairos assumed it had been written as a journal rather than compiled from notes. Kairos leafed through the pages, hardly stopping to make out words. He watched for changes in the character of the writing. At times it grew slack, flowery and lazy. Other pages were barely legible, looking as if they had been scratched out in great haste or with great anger, leaving scores where quill had gouged into paper. Likely there were ways to tell the age of ink or paper, but Kairos did not know them, neither magical nor scientific. He suspected years might have passed between individual entries, though it was mere speculation on his part. Kairos sat with a readied quill, ink, and a stack of paper beside him when he began to read. He intended to copy the contents before finding a way to return the original to Rashan's possession. The large majority of the passages were gibberish, or at least they were as he began. As he got farther along, he began to take note of themes, repeated imagery, and allusions to historical events that Brannis had learned of as a boy. It might take many readings, Kairos knew, before he could understand the contents. Kairos read one of the more lucid passages. Lion cub, copper crown. Grows but never grows father's claws. Purrs his orders, his pack grows wheat and worships scarecrows. His only hunter kills his cubs. His only hunter steals his cub. His only hunter waits and feasts on carrion. Another read, fallow field, fertile mind. Potato planted but grows into grape. The vintage will only tell with time. We sip the vintner's craft, whether we choke or revel in it. A drunkard captains the ship we all sail on, but does not steer it. These two passages Kairos made note of in his own copy, suggesting a link between them and the historical events they foretold. If he could find similar links elsewhere in the prophecies, he might be able to construct a rough chronology of the entries. Kairos could make no sense of any entry for a long while. They seemed to rage, making vague threats against uncertain foes. It was disturbing to read, knowing that it was Rashan who had written it all. The worst he found among them read, breathing blood, thinking fire, eating hope, deaf to mercy, blind to fear. Cities become tombs, the grateful chain held by no hand. Kairos was tempted to give in to the lure of sleep, but he felt the need to see the task of copying the book through in a single night. Even if he did not understand everything he read, or even much of it, he needed to see it all. Time started swimming in Kairos's head. The drawn curtains of his window showed no fringe of light about them to suggest that sunlight dwelt outside, but that was the only clue he had as to how long he had read. His eyes burned with fatigue, making it hard to bring the scratchy text into focus. Kairos noted that there seemed to be more consistency between passages later in the book, at least in so much as it looked like it was written in a similar hand. He decided that the entries were being written with less time between them. Kairos noticed another trend as well. There seemed to be more specifics mentioned. He could not identify everything, but he strongly suspected a correlation to actual events that took place. If these are actual events, then what place would they have in prophecies? Kairos wondered aloud, a clear sign that he was overtired. Who predicts events that have already taken place? Kairos closed his eyes and rubbed his temples, trying to think. He needed to find historical references to compare the prophetic text to. If he could begin matching entries to Kadrin history, he might discover the reason. Tired as he was, he could not make the link solely within his own head. He made note of three more entries, Death fights the act of death. How many times must death be killed? One more, one more. Never. To stop the rebirth of death, first defeat death, then death. Followed by, broken vase spills blue-white blood. The missing pieces are keys that lock the final door. Patch the holes that are only halves. And lastly, one vase filling fast, spilling faster. To see another, no mirror may reflect it. Where to find its shadow, and absence not a copy. Seek a way among the spirits. Piecing together the three of those seemed to be the key. They were not consecutive in the text, but seemed related. He would need fresh eyes, and a fresh mind, to make any further progress. Kyrus set the book cover down on his desk, with the spine facing the wall, then set two others atop it. His loose sheet copy he rolled and put into a case that had contained a report from Pevitt. He fell asleep in his clothes, atop the blankets. Rakashi found Soria breaking her fast on a meal of bacon and eggs in the common room. They had stayed overnight at an inn whose Tikalish name translated to Quiet Sea. The rocky outcroppings north of the port city of Dacia shielded the small, expensive establishment from the noise of the busy port. Soria and her companions had grown accustomed to the finest accommodations and spared little expense in their choice of lodgings. "Just you this morning?" Rakashi asked, pulling up a chair next to her.
"Brannis sleeps like a bear. Our ship won't leave until noontime, so I left him in our room. Figured it was easier than trying to wake him," Soria said, not bothering to wait between bites. She ate like a warrior, not a lady, Rakashi noted, not for the first time. She shoveled her food in until her cheeks bulged, washing it down with ale even in the morning hours. He wondered how much of her behavior was rebellion against the strictures of Kadran life, and how much was just how she preferred to live. It was the hatred of those strictures that he needed. "Has having him here in Telyarek made life in Kadran easier?" Rakashi asked. "I remember how upset you were when you told me of your betrothal. Before your wedding day, you were worse. You seem happier now, but what of Juliana?"
"Philosophical this morning?" Soria asked, casting a sidelong glance at Rakashi. "I am fine. I have Kyrus there now too, don't forget. Iridan didn't even stay long after the wedding. We had a fight."
Soria stuffed another forkful of eggs into her mouth, forestalling any elaboration. "What did you argue over?" Rakashi asked. "Was it something to do with Brannis?"
"You're starting to sound like the House Archon lady servants, you know. And I never said we argued. I made some jest about his manhood, and he took a swing at me, caught me off guard," Soria said, not looking in Rakashi's direction.
"How cowardly," Rakashi said, developing a stronger dislike for Iridan than he had known before. He preferred it, suspecting that he would face him soon in Mune as Teba. Just from talking with Soria, he knew that Rashan was still in Kadrus, not making trouble in the newly conquered city.
"You tell me much. Why had I not heard of this?"
"I would have offered solace, you know this."
"Spare me the maiden rescue, Rakashi," Soria replied. "You know my temper. I stopped myself just short of killing him with my bare hands."
"Juliana bested the new warlock?" Rakashi asked, a bemused grin spreading across his face, white teeth shining out from his dark features.
"Hey now, I might have bruised some knuckles and twisted a wrist, but I can fight," Soria said, vexing Rakashi with her persistent use of the first person for both herself and Juliana. She was the only twinborn he had known to suffer that particular foible.
"For my coin? Kadran still only has one warlock. Iridan panics when he's caught off guard. Ether burned himself trying to raise a shield spell."
"Have you heard from him since he left?" Rakashi shifted the conversation slightly.
"No." Soria turned and gave Rakashi a long look. "I get it. He's not twinborn, so you're trying to sneak around our little pact, right? I might tell you about my marriage problems like you were the girl who helps me into festival day dresses, but I'm not going to sell out my husband or Kadrin that easily.
She winked, making it appear a jest. Rakashi shrugged with a little smile, because, after all, he could not deny the charge.
Is there really so much difference between Iriden and his father? Rakashi asked, hoping Soria might find the question less invasive.
Soria bit into a strip of bacon, leaving only a morsel the size of her thumbnail. She held it out for Rakashi's inspection.
The difference between this and a whole pig, she told him.
What of Kairis? Rakashi asked. He is one of us, and yours in particular. I am merely quite curious.
Even in jest, I would stay well clear of Kairis. I don't think Brannis trusts you yet, but he has enough self-control not to act rashly. Kairis isn't like Iridan. When he panics, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near him. You saw Marker's point. Even with the bit of magic he knows, I think Rashan's nervous around him.
Rakashi took her advice to heart. While Iridan was his problem in Mune, he would do all within his power to steer clear of the Icardian twinborn. Rakashi sought his own morning meal after that exchange, leaving Soria alone for a moment. She suspected that his interest in Iridan was something of a practical matter. If the reports of Iridan terrorizing Mune were accurate, it would not surprise her to hear that Rakashi's counterpart had been sent to deal with him. She was not certain how she felt about that. For all her claims that Iridan was no warlock, he was certainly powerful in his own way. She would be furious with him should anything happen to Rakashi, whom she loved like a brother. The thought sobered her when she put it in those terms. Their years of conflict, much of it instigated by her, had never resulted in her hating Iridan, but despite the trappings of marriage, neither did she love him.
He was always Brannis's little puppy, following Brannis around even when he was not wanted.
He had been an annoyance, but a familiar one. Yes, that was it. Familiar. That was how she felt about Iridan. The part about Kairis worried her more. There had been two books she had thought to leave him. The Book of Prophecies was a warning. Things went on inside the head of her Oathfather that Kairis might puzzle out better than she, and none of it seemed reassuring. The second book she had found in her room after receiving the first. She could only assume it was left by her Fey Oathmother as well. The title had read, The Peace of Talax. She knew the name, associated with ancient legends, but knew nothing of the story behind it. Having read the whole of it, more than she normally read in a season, she could not decide whether to share it with Kairis as well.